Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it's Jay of the Peas. It's quite it's like I have to run down this long corridor between the two studios, Studio A and Studio B. You know, by the time Sean's finished, you know, I've got to fade out the fade out the last program and then join this one, which has a different length of delay, which means that I have very little time going from Studio A to Studio B. I'm rather hot. So, good afternoon, everybody. Good evening, and welcome to Journeys with JP. Today, I have no guest. It's one of those days. It's one of those, let's see what happens to this period of time at this moment. It is Leap Day. It's my son's 20th or even 5th birthday. So, you know, memories of driving down the Bristol roads and all that sort of stuff to St. Michael's Hill on Bristol, overlooking fantastic view while we were waiting for him to arrive. It was such a beautiful thing. Mm. So, it's lovely to be here. How is everybody? You can call in using the station number, and I can never remember it. So, but I do know that the Studio B listen number, yeah, get this, 605-562-4200. 605-562-4200. Yeah, that's Studio B. 4199, subtract 1 for Studio A. Anyhow, so, where are we? It's been quite a week. If anybody's been involved with me in the last week in some of the journeys that we've been doing, and or involved in your own journey this week, which has somehow felt to you like it was part of the great global change, because that's really what's going on for a lot of people I'm talking about. You know, they're coming along with momentous insights and discoveries and things like that. And things are actually turning out right for once. It's quite a fascinating process that's going on right now. So let me just have a look here. Excellent. So sorry. That was some very good news just arriving in my inbox. Well, you know, some very good cash. That's great. So thank you very much, everybody. Where are we? So, yeah, and then there's, of course, Freedom Screen 2, and you can connect to Wolf Spirit Radio on Skype, or there's the 775-773-3431, or there's my Skype, and, you know, this and that. I discovered Skype is really weird. Have you noticed that Skype has gone really weird recently? You know, I had about 4 hard drives attached to my main computer here recently, and I noticed that Skype was getting longer and longer it would take to start up in the morning, and I realized that maybe this is something to do with the number of hard drives that I have. So I disconnected my hard drives, and lo and behold, Skype starts up faster. Do you know what that means? Anybody want to call in with what they think the answer to that question might be? Anyhow. What a day. What a week. What a year. If Max is around, do connect. Vanessa, if you want to call in, just connect in. There's big stuff going on, and I don't want to talk about it. Just me. I want other people to talk about it with me. That's great. So where are we? What's happening? Is there 3.69? What's going on here? Yes, I'm just checking on Wolf Spirit Radio. Oh, by the way, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com is a listener-supported station. Please donate. and find your way to www.freedomslips.com. That's Freedom's Lips, like the lips of freedom, spoken words. And you'll find there'll be a site support area. And I always recommend the seeds. It's the best investment you could ever make is buying a bunch of seeds. You keep them in a cool enough, dry enough place, and they will last for 25 years. Which, you know, how can you get better than that? Haha, maybe it was a coincidence. Your computer started running faster. Yeah, so, why does things slow down and speed up? What is this with granular, lumpy time? Anybody notice time is lumpier than it used to be? Yeah, it used to be kind of more homogenous, like more like a kind of custard. Now it's like a, you know, lumpy gravy. What's going on? Is it goulash? Is time turning to goulash? I'm asking these questions. I'm asking you. if you're bothered, hang on, let me just have a look at the quick little scan there. Yeah, this is what I think. Now, I remember back in the day, there's ISP called AOL, and I always remembered when I was a computer tech, and I always remembered when people had AOL, trying to get it off their computer was like trying to remove a malignant tumor or a dandelion root. It was almost impossible to get off. And every, you know, whatever it did, it slowed the computer down. And what it turned out in the end is that it was doing scanning your entire file base into a file and uploading it to the central database. Like WTF, you know, is that supposed to be the way? We go over to British Columbia for our correspondent. Sunshine Dim, how's it going, HJ?
Hello, sir. It's been a long time since we talked, but, you know, I have been really investigating the changes in reality around me, and I've just recently been time warped, going back to my hometown back in the 50s. I was born there in 1949. So, man, I'll tell you, I was flooded with one time warp after another as the things that I remembered so clearly are no longer there at all. It's a mind blower.
It is. And do you think... All right, so here's one of the things. I spoke with Alex Collier about some of these, you know, some of these thoughts. I will get him on the show. I think he may be getting him on soon. Hey, by the way, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to have J.P. Sears on. Do you know who J.P. Sears is?
No, I don't.
Oh, he's a comedian for this alternative radio situation, alternative enlightenment, and he's very funny indeed. So we're going to have some J.P. on J.P. action. It's going to be great. So
we could use some, you know, have we got a big backup echo or something?
Only when you speak and my mic is open.
Maybe turn down your speakers?
No, don't talk when I've got my mic open. there's always two ways to deal with a situation, isn't there?
Well, you know, if you look hard enough, there's always an alternative, eh?
So where are we? What's been happening in BC? How is the oxygen level? There's supposed to be a CO2 West Coast issue.
I have got, if you'd like me to go through them, I have an inch-thick file of clippings on British Columbia. Would you like to talk about the environmental news? Would you like to talk about government changes?
I don't want to talk about details, right? Because we haven't got time for the details.
Yeah.
The overview is where we're at the moment.
Well,
so So, in terms of, like, if you could give us a pulse reading of those different areas.
Would you like the comic overview?
Oh, of course. Everything has to be more funny than me, yeah.
Well, you know, I raised guard squirrels, right?
You
I was originally
them.
Going to... Pardon me?
You don't stuff and mount them.
Pardon me?
Wasn't it Scrubs, the janitor, used to stuff and mount squirrels? Anyway, long story.
Oh, it is. Tell it. Go ahead and tell it.
No. It's a TV show. It was a TV show. A medical student show. Scrubs.
Well, you know, I grew up in North America, so we didn't see a lot of British shows, you know, although I did look
American
for them.
American show. It's an American show.
It was an American show?
Yeah, called Scrubs. It's very funny. It's comedy.
Oh, I never heard of it. Well, you got to realize that I spent over a decade so completely removed from TV and radio that I didn't even know who Art Bell was. I mean, I was anywhere from offshore a few miles to being, my furthest was 600 miles offshore by myself. Pretty interesting. But anyhow, Canada is fine. We still have our sanity. We still say A. And the way to spell Canada is C-A-N-A-D-A.
So, you can still say a boot.
Yeah, they don't let me say woofs. I've got to say wolves. They won't let me say woof. You know, that's how I learned to say woofs. Was in Ohio, right? You get up to Canada and they insist. Not only that, when you're in Canada and you admit that you're a U.S. citizen, and I'm a dual citizen now, but if you admit you're a dual U.S. citizen, they immediately assume that you are completely in charge of everything and you're to blame for everything that they think the United States has done wrong. And when you finally admit it, and it takes, you might have to buy three different rounds, depending on where this is going on. But in the average bar, I'd say about three rounds for everybody. And once they're convinced that you're willing to admit it, they elect you to be the King of America. Because, you know, they are a part of all of the nations that are united underneath the Queen of England.
What, you mean they're programmed to respect the crown?
That's right. So they elect you to be the king of the United States. As soon as you're willing to admit you're responsible for everything and in charge of everything, they capitulate and say, well, if that's the case, then you're officially the King of America now, as far as we're concerned. That's happened to me.
And they put the crown on you, and then they take you into this large wicker building that somehow is the same shape as a human. And there's all these goats and sheep.
And there's these funny little dogs running around. Corgis, I think.
So anyway,
So that's Canada update.
That's Canada update. Hang on. No, wrong jingle. And here's the news from where you are, which is not where we are. The news where you are is not as important as the news where we are, because we're here and you're there. Anyway, that's part of a rap I heard yesterday. It was just beautifully put about how local TV stations are, you know, just like put in their place, put down by the big TV station. Anyhow,
we only have dramas that a guy like me who's old and, you know, basically stays at home a lot. You know, we only have dramas that, you know, I can understand at that level. But the Canadian press has been doing some good work here lately, I tell you. One of the gang actually selected an article about this ancient elephant in China or Korea. I could look it up. And this poor, lonely old elephant is in a concrete pen. And nobody visits her, is the impression that I got from the article. And she occasionally has her keeper come in to take care of her, and he leaves. And I'm thinking, this is one of the oldest elephants on the planet. It's certainly one of the oldest ones in captivity. And I swear to God, if I could only... And there was no way of connecting to the people that had this elephant, or... I think I've thought about it so often in the last 2 or 3 weeks that I think I would be more than willing to send, if I could get a hold of a human there that spoke my language, I'd be willing to send him $50 just to put a potted plant in that elephant's pen. Anything to relieve that incredible really imprisonment of that poor critter, eh? You ever have feelings like that about a story you read from a place so far away that they don't even have an internet site?
Well, it's a throwback from the old, what they call old school. People seem to, you know, it's quite, sometimes I don't, the way I'm relating to the world of nature and the planet and animals and plants and things nowadays is very different. It's very different from how it used to be. You know,
I
used to see a dog and the dog used to make this horrible noise, and but now I look at the dog and the dog's, I realize the dog is initiating a conversation with me and it's trying to tell me something. You see, there's a completely different relationship. And now I can't, now I'm in that place, I can't kind of get how it used to be. I can't get people who see animals as like so different from themselves. And now I have another, I have the same attitude now towards diseases as well as animals and other things that have consciousness. So much so that I was talking to my evil Nazi Berberis plant yesterday. It has a needle on it that is about an inch and a half long, sharp as a hypodermic, and it will go through about at least half an inch of rubber, so you can step on it and it will go right into your foot. That's why I can't walk. This thing has crippled me. All right, I'm not kidding. So
I've been there.
So
you ever get cut with coral? Oh, baby.
That's sharp.
Let me tell you, when that gets infected, you're up for a month.
Yeah. So anyway, yesterday, this bush was about at least 12 feet in diameter. It's like a big spherical thing. Like, it's like a Nazi fortress in the middle of my garden, taking up all of the space and just being mean and nasty. So yesterday... I got the saw, the hedge trimmer, and everything, and I
weapons.
Got the gloves on, and I took it out. I didn't completely take it out because I realized it has to have its place. You know, it's got its part in my gun, but I had to connect with it and say, "Look, I'm sorry, but this is the last time you're going to hurt me," and I've taken all of the needles above head level. Above head level, so that the bees, and it's really good for the bees. But now instead of a sphere, it looks like a broccoli, and it burns really well, even fresh, because it's very oily.
It's got lots of oil in it.
So anyway, Berberis, yeah, bastard, barbed bugger,
Berberis Lamort.
So it's now no longer spiny. It's now long. It's freed me about half a dozen square meters of good soil that has now got light on it. So everything is good. So I dealt with the bush yesterday. How about
you? Only lost a foot,
huh?
And you only lost a foot.
Oh, well, no, my feet, both of my feet are embedded with the tiny embedded ends of the aforementioned needles. I can't walk. It hurts when I walk.
Oh, do you have anybody that loves you enough to pull about 15 jaggers out of your foot? You got to go in there with a number 10 sterilized X-Acto knife and a needle and a pair of tweezers. And you got to do it, or each one of those little suckers will get infected. Oh, baby, and you will be sore.
Well, you never know. I soak them in borax. That's my thing, and that helps them.
Good idea.
Soften up the feet.
Well, it neutralizes the acid that's in the oil.
Yeah, so that's pretty nasty stuff. So that was my task for yesterday, and so I'm kind of battle scarred from that, but I'm quite satisfied that I've emerged triumphant from this battle against this lower consciousness Nazi. It's part of the Nazi Bush family.
Oh man, no kidding. the Bush crime family.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's strange, you know. I'm still amazed that people think we actually have an election, right? And
we are electing. That is, it's something to do with anybody's choice. That is like not one of them.
A well thought out choice, right? Yeah. Well, we believe in stranger fictions. I mean, if you consider this economy to be a reality instead of a fiction based on a bunch of greed heads gaining control of the books, then there's not much I can talk to you about in terms of sociology, economies, government, belief structures, faith, human nature. I mean, if you believe that fiction, I mean, I don't know if I can talk to you. You know what I mean? I'm saying arbitrary.
Well, you know, I've been kind of moving so far away from, again,
yep,
going to the consciousness, you know, getting into the consciousness of nature. Like, really, not like, you know, talking to the plants, but talking to plants, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a crazy thing. It's like being... you see animal whisperers.
Sure.
They connect with this thing. And so, you know, in my healing process, I've kind of connected with these different consciousnesses. And when you connect with different consciousnesses, you realize that everything has a consciousness. You can also say that the financial system has a consciousness, that money itself has a consciousness, and that consciousness is like it's like a djinn, almost. It's a magic spell.
It is.
The money, the dollar bills are really little magic spells because they have so much power. You know, when you see somebody taking a cigarette lighter and burning a $50 note or something like that, you go, some of you inside, you know, inside you go, oh, but it's just nothing. It's nothing. It's not real. It's just a bit of paper or a bit of linen or plastic. It's not real. It's not value. You're the value. Your time, that's the value. Anyhow.
You might say it's a shared hallucination, actually, when you get down to the nitty-gritty.
Well, it's more like a shared mind control, a mass mind control.
You betcha.
That has been, you know, perpetrated upon us. La, 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 la. We all know the story.
Well, you know, the thing about mass mind control was that it decided that it was going to grow on commercials. And all of us who grew up with commercials since the late 40s, basically got to the point where we learned how to ignore commercials. So we got to the point where we learned how to ignore all this mind-melting brain control. We used to call them the brain police. Remember that? Are you old enough to remember us talking about the brain police?
Well, I remember Frank Zappa track on...
Oh, yeah, yeah, Frank Zappa.
Ooh,
I met
all the
Frank
brave police. Anyway,
I met the guy, and I ended up at one of his rehearsals when I was like 17. I got my first chopper, a motorcycle. I love Brit motorcycles, by the way. I've had at least, I'd say 24 Brit motorcycles in my life. Most of them 650s. Or bigger, or smaller, but mostly 650s. And I met him cruising into L.A. to go to the Shrine Auditorium because I heard he was going to play there. So I thought I'd come in early and buy tickets for me and my sweetie and come in later. But the doors were wide open, nobody in the ticket booth. So I walk inside, and here's about 50 people, music on the stage, and all these people doing all kinds of stuff surrounding the stage. And it was his groupies in L.A. and a guy named Vito Franzetti that basically had this huge house up in a canyon that all these people hung out around. So I got a chance to meet Frank Zappa. I got a chance to meet Jimmy Carl Black, who was a drummer for Frank, who taught me in a few minutes. We talked about drumming, and he says, hey, okay, pay attention to this. Get to the fundamentals, you know, paradiddles, flamadiddles, things like that that drummers know about, which I did. And I got to listen to Frank, and then later on that night I went to his concert, and I got a chance to dance up front. And me and Frank gave each other the peace sign, the V, before that was a common thing to do. It's quite an interesting night. Over.
Excellent. Well, I saw him in 88, and he almost deafened me, but what a concert. That was probably one of the most amazing guitar soloist concerts I've ever been to. Just incredible. He was loud. He filled every pore with his guitar. It was just so... every frequency band was catered for with his very thick sounding guitar, which just, you know, it didn't quite drown everything out, but it was, you could feel it.
Well, I was coming from a cellar band background myself. I was playing in cellar bands in the Valley, and I got down there, and I'd been a student of music all my life. My mom loved it, so I got to hear a lot of different kinds. And what blew me out is the fact that each one of those people could instantly take on any change in the music that Frank suggested instantly. There was no three rehearsals to get it right, you know, nope. They had it immediately, and man, that was a mind blower, because I'd been working with guys. My lead guitar was great. He could play 100 different fragments of a song, but it was hard to get him to play a whole song. So I'm watching Frank Zappa work with this incredibly fine, talented bunch of excellent studio they would have made perfect studio musicians, because their ability to adapt to new changes was phenomenal from my point of view. I'd never been around anybody that good. It was a mind blower, eh?
Yeah, they were on an octave above most musicians. You know, you're saying, you're living with a band, okay, so let's take... Can we just, like, make that 8 bars instead of 4? All right. So, you know, and like 4 run-throughs later, you know, everybody's up to speed. Finally, you know, the bass player gets it, you know. No, not there. No. 4 bars later. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, so...
Take it from the top.
Yeah.
Which top?
Yeah.
The top. Okay.
No, well, just before where we started. No, the real top, the beginning of the song.
You mean the first one or the second one?
Yeah. So,
I've heard a fourth one. I like the fourth one.
Yeah, so we've had these. Old Zappa's bands were excellent musos, says Cortek. Indeed.
Well, I started playing with records when I was a kid, and I couldn't play them real loud, usually. occasionally. Man, was it fun to actually hear a record full volume, because I was playing along with them. So what I'd have to do is listen for a minute and then try to play what they were doing, and then go back and go, oh yeah, I forgot that, and go back and learn the song by ear. That's what I was doing most of my preteen and teen years, is learning riffs by ear. Did you ever get to the point where you could read music really quickly?
I can't read music, but what I did figure out was the scale of chords.
Oh, which, good thinking.
Which determines all the possible chords in any key.
Roger that.
You know, which ones are in harmony, which ones are in, you know, and the
dissonant.
And it's the thing is, it's like, oh, just everybody knows this, you know, but I had to figure it out for myself for some reason. Anyway,
yeah,
so
you
there's
have
this
to.
There's this thing where you do the 1-4-5. So it's the first chord, the fourth chord, and the fifth chord, which is like E, A, and D. You know, the traditional three chord song has a pattern that reflects all throughout all the keys, and it's 1-4-5 because it's the first and the fourth and the fifth chord in the scale of chords.
Yep.
It's when I figured that out, all right, so that's how songs work. And then you can determine from like two or three chords in a song what key is actually the things being played in. And then if you know how to play the pentatonics, you can play a lead guitar very easily over any key. As long as you
right.
know where the key is, then you can. There's four notes in a. There's a blues scale that has four notes in it that you can play a guitar solo by playing those notes and bending those notes, and you can get away with just four notes if you can figure that out. You can sound like a blues master. You've got to know which four notes are the ones.
Well, you know, that kind of an exploration of music, I got into as far as I could. And learned a lot every time I approached it. You know, I never got it fully down like a concert composer would have, but I got to the point where I could write my own songs. I really loved being able to put the lyrical thoughts in my brain to a piece of music. You ever done that?
The lyrical thoughts in, say again?
The story in your brain on a piece of music.
Well, sometimes I do several things. I play with Reason, which is a sequencing program, and that's how I make a lot of my theme tunes. You can sequence any piece of music in it. It'll even take in a MIDI file.
Yeah, cool.
So I'll create a tune out of something out of the air from that, and then a few days, either side of that, I might feel struck and like, oh, I'm just going to take this down and write a poem. You know, there's a feeling that bubbles up that decides it wants to be a poem. And then it'll come a point where I realize, oh, hang on a second, I just put that and I put that. And then I just read it out and throw the music behind it, and it just fits. That's happened once or twice. Sometimes a song will just arrive in one go.
Absolutely.
And I wrote one, when was that? It was about 2005, I think. It's called State of Being. And there was this little guitar tune that just went over and over and over again, but very relaxing. And then there was this very gentle poem that talks about how beautiful someone is, you know. Yeah, love poem. It's a love poem. Beautiful. And
I used to do that when I had access to a piano, because all those keys really opened up the chordal patterns. So even when I was experimenting, I could find these runs, these melodies that I could play that were delightful, especially when I discovered minor keys. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, they make your music sound a lot more interesting when you got the minors in there. So that's outside the 1-4-5. That's the other ones. The 2-3 and the 6 and 7s.
Well, I grew up with big band music, along with the classical music artists, because Mom had quite a good control of the classics that she liked. She had a fairly good collection, and Dad scrounged around and found boxes of the old 78s, you know, from the 30s. And this is in 1950s, middle 50s, that we were listening to music together. And I loved to listen to music with my dad. Did you ever have a chance to do that?
Not really. I watched Lassie once with my dad, but he was usually asleep.
Well, Dad was a pretty sociable guy, and he loved doing stuff. If you were being interesting, he was always doing interesting things. So if you got interesting, he'd pay you attention, you know. He'd enjoy having you around, and he'd show you how to do things. So me and my dad figured that out. I don't know if the rest of the kids in my family ever got that close to him. Because I loved to tinker, he loved to tinker. And he'd play music. He was accomplished with a lot of instruments, wind and stringed. And we got a chance to listen to great music. You know, the 30s had swing bands, you know, the big bands. And you've heard some big band stuff, right?
I'm a Glenn Miller fan myself.
Right on. Wonderful, wonderful band. Incredible. Dad actually played in the big bands when he was approaching his later teens. So he was still 15 or 16 when he was touring in the summer with my Uncle Sil, who was full-time with one of the big bands that toured the Great Lakes. Pretty cool stuff, for his kidhood. We moved to L.A., and I got a chance to do one great cellar band after another. You know, garage bands, whatever. A bunch of us kids learn how to play rock and roll. And we're right in the middle of the Beatles and The Who and every other band that came out from the Brit influence, along with all of our own blues people. We've got this incredible evolution in recorded finger picking from the early blues guys, Blind Lemon Jefferson, you know, all those cats. The Crossroads, you ever see that flick?
With Stevie Ray Vaughan or something?
Yeah.
Was it? Oh no, Steve Vai.
Steve Vai,
right. Yeah. Because, again, now Steve Vai is a good Zappa guitar player.
Is that a good one or what?
Well, it's pretty hot.
Pretty hot movie, man. Great babes. Great babes in that movie. Especially when he goes into that black bar, right? Man, I'll tell you, that joint is jumping. And, you know, we grew up with stuff like that. It was starting to fade in my childhood. We just got through with World War II, eh? But rock and roll popped out. I had a babysitter that was in love with Elvis Presley. I was jealous of Elvis Presley because I was in love with her myself. Of course, she was 10 years older than me, but that didn't really count. You know, she was absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And a cheerleader, no less. We good at this stuff or what? The early loves of ancient old farts. I just realized we were talking about how much time has changed. You know,
Zaphod is talking some really interesting stuff in the chat room here.
He does. He's an interesting cat.
I'd love to hear him talk.
Bring him on.
Yeah. Zaphod, are you listening?
Are you listening, Zaphod? This is Journeys from JP. Studio B calling Zaphod. Studio B calling Zaphod. Please appear.
Limousine for Mr. Zaphod.
Anyway.
Limousine for Mr. Zaphod. So, you know, we're those guys in the airport lobby holding those signs, right? And we both noticed that we're holding the same name, you know? So we should join forces and get him. We should drag him on board.
Mm-hmm. I wish I knew his thing.
Is Skype Ignatius?
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find it.
Like, pull him in. Pull you in. Look, come on.
Yeah, but I could do
come
it.
Come on, Zaphod. So, because you're saying really interesting stuff. You always say interesting stuff on my show. And maybe he's not even listening.
Oh, yeah. They're hooked up.
But get this, you know, listen to this. I think aspects of the Black Star will have some warping effects due to AI modulations in the maintenance effect of the orbital harmonics, and some that are maintenance modulations from the outside correction of plasma etheric Birkeland currents to much modulation from the outside Birkeland current attenuations as a wild effect to the inside compartmentalized flow dynamics. Hence the earthquakes and increased size of the plasma sphere of the Earth's core.
Well, it all depends if it's properly mounted on Zergoli bearings, you know, that are properly bedded.
Right, sure, the girdle pins are stuck in properly.
The girdle pins must be stuck in properly.
Yeah.
So what he's talking about is, you know, partially a kind of physics that we call transdimensional physics, part of it, is really effects that we're just starting to explore in terms of our traditional physics. And it explains a lot of holes in traditional physics. The fact that the influence on a lot of planets is more than we can account for with our version of the solar system and its gravitic effects. Theoretically, there's the possibility of a heavier body out there in an orbit way beyond where we have found it that affects everything in our solar system. That's transdimensional physics. It explores that difference between traditional physics and the actual measurable effect that certain things have on our planet. Here he is. He's popping up. We're good at this stuff.
Is this Zaphod, really, or is this Judy from Oregon?
Could be.
What's the...
Hello.
Hello. I have laryngitis. I'm sorry. I'm not Zaphod.
Come very closer to the phone then, because we can't really hear you.
Okay, I'll start yelling. How's that?
No.
That's yelling, is it? All right. Hey.
Don't want that.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay.
Apart from not being able to... What a good thing to do. What a good idea. I know, I'll call into a radio station.
Oh,
hang on a second. I've got laryngitis. I can't speak. Let me translate for you. You just say things and I'll say them back and say, and you just go, yes, or, you know.
It's not always real... Okay, there it is. It's coming back. It's not always real bad, but... at the beginning of your show, you mentioned that a lot of things were going on spiritually, and I was hoping you could speak about that a little bit, because I feel so disoriented and so in another world and so sleepy and tired. I don't know if I should go back to the doctor or just write it out. Do you have specific things that you can say about that?
Well, there's lots happening on many different levels. Okay,
okay.
So there's levels, for instance, like that Benjamin Fulford, for instance, talks about. You know, the White Dragon Society, the Illuminati, and all those people doing their dealings.
Mm-hmm.
And laying behind that are the energy forces that are driving them. You know,
okay.
Things like these kind of big. Like a psychic shepherd that is, you know, moving human consciousness from place to place, and
yeah.
Shepherding it around. So there's all of that. But then we also have that going on within our own bodies, and as a reflection of that. But it also is affected from the past and of actions of our predecessors. And this is something that we really don't take into account. Everybody thinks, oh, yeah, you know, we got these problems from my past life. But it's not my past life that I'm having problems with. I'm having problems with the past lives of these people who we call the gods or the titans.
Okay.
And it's their issues that we are suffering from, particularly the issue of the being called Hera.
Wow. And who is that person?
Hera was the mortal who... Very jealously, this is her problem. She's a human. She has jealousy issue. And from my latest investigations, she caused the War of the Titans. She put two men against each other. And that's what happened. And they were friends. And it shouldn't have happened, and it needn't have happened, and it was very, very wrong. And it started... Everything that went wrong. And it was all because of this energy that wasn't even from her. And this is kind of probably the sort of the Eve story thing, but this is a very, very ancient jealous negative spirit that is acting through the whole thing. And it is kind of serpentine, horse face, you know, little dragony, demony, go oldy sort of little thing that influences people. Anyhow, yeah, so it works on all these different levels, and we're all influenced by it. And every time you work something out with a new, unique, creative solution, that actually helps things. That actually helps everything and helps everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the 100th monkey. It goes out into the morphological field. Ah, somebody's fixed this problem. Imagine that the human race is like an enormous Google, and that somebody somewhere has got the answer. And they, you know, so somebody might say, "Oh, human race, tell me how this happened." And somebody will come up and say, "Oh yeah, I got the answer." You know, in the same way that people phone into a radio show. Does that make
sense?
Wow.
It does make a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense, and I'm doing a quick scan in my soul to see how it plugs into me. I guess I shouldn't be doing that when I'm on the phone.
Well, I mean, there will be things that really, you know, came to the fore of your mind when I was talking about that. So you can talk about those things. You know, there's something. You know, when I mention things, mm-hmm. I speak to both sides of your brain. My words speak to your left side of your brain, and my mm-hmm. Cadence speaks to the right side of your brain. And mm-hmm. The cadence, the rhythm of words, they convey information. They're the digital download information encoded with holographic pictures and things and telepathic things, and it all comes with a package, and people just think they're listening to somebody speak, but there's a lot more going on. It's like when you read a book, you know, people think, oh, they're just looking at words, dead words, but you're actually you're connecting with the mind of the writer when you're reading a book. And,
yes.
You know, that writer might be alive today and, you know, doing something. You know, like, he might be stealing a car. just going out and getting drunk, you know. It's a very interesting thing. I've often wondered, you know, how that really plays out in life. But there are connections set up, you know, whenever you put some kind of, you know, casting out. You cast out. If you cast your fishing net, you catch things, don't you? You cast a fishing line, things come back. You do a broadcast, you're bound to get lots of things back, eh?
Say, would you be kind enough to introduce me, JP?
SJ, this is Jude from Oregon, on the other side of the border.
Well, Jude, it's a pleasure to meet you, ma'am. I had a fishing boat in Florence, Oregon.
I actually live north of Seattle, in Washington State.
I used to log in the Olympic Peninsula on using a 70-foot balloon filled with helium. No kidding.
I used to run through the woods in the peninsula and just run until I was so exhausted I couldn't do anything else.
Hey, did you ever go to Claylock Lodge on the beach there?
Probably once when I was a little kid, my dad would drag us out there, but no, I didn't go once I didn't have to for a while.
Well, what a shame. Did you ever get to La Push? That was the Indian fishing village up by the entry into Puget Sound.
A long time ago.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you. I used to cut cedar in those areas, and I cut on a tree that was over 2,000 years old there.
Uh-oh.
It was buried absolutely. The only part of it that was showing was this teeny strip of bark and a nurse tree that was about 10 feet across it at its far end. But I had to dig it out, and it took me over a week before I got the first bolt out of that tree.
And I'm surprised the rest of the trees let you walk out of the forest with both legs.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, there were times when you paid the price. Yeah. I never took a tree without trying to be as make it as useful as possible. If I was going to cut into something that old, I made sure I cut it properly. I didn't toss it around or leave it in the rain. I kept it dry, actually, because the wood was so fine-grained that you couldn't draw. You know how you sharpen a really fine pencil point? You know how fine a line that is?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't draw a line that diameter between the grain. And this tree was approximately 8 feet across where I was cutting, where I dug it out.
Amazing.
2,000 years old. It was a sapling when Christ was on the planet, and it probably got blown over when it was about, oh, anywhere from 300 to maybe 500 years old. Windstorm probably took it down, put it in the bottom of the canyon.
Oh.
And I'll tell you, walking through that place with a set of corks, you know you need corks to really dive in there, right in the rainforest. Walking with a set of corks in that rainforest was a mind blower. Incredible critters. I came close to bears tons of times. You could hear coyotes in the bush, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, the wolves love to sing.
I saw a moose once.
For how long?
Oh,
did you run or did he run first?
He very casually walked, well, sort of almost ran, but moved quickly past the front end of my skidding 5-ton truck when I was up, as I was headed towards the Arctic Circle on the Alaska Highway. What a hoot, eh?
You've had quite the life.
Well, I was bored. You know, as a kid, I got bored. I got into motorcycles. I started reading about all these fur trappers and gold miners and the gold rush and sailing ships, and I wanted to go see all that stuff. So I did. And then I got old. You know, I wake up every morning feeling like I'm 18, and then I look in the mirror, right? And talk about shock from change, JP. Right? You know what I'm talking about, ma'am?
Well, you know, I look in the mirror and I think, I'm growing into my face.
Very mature.
I think I was born about 250 years old, and I'm just kind of growing into myself.
Yeah, it takes a few wrinkles.
I actually, you know, I'm just remembering, literally 20 years ago today, looking at my son being born. Bless his heart, he had, bless his throat and his brain, he had the cord wrapped round his neck. It was purple, you know. So as I sat with him there in my arms, you know, looking at him and being so, oh, my baby, I was thinking to myself, this boy looks like a purple version of Bob Dylan.
I know, isn't he?
This is my first thoughts about my son. However, he has grown up to be the most handsome, tall, intelligent, talented, caring, just an all-round amazing dude. So, Joseph P., enjoy.
Are we good at this stuff or what?
Well, you know, my attitude is like, leave them alone and they grow up really much better.
yeah, roger that.
So,
roger that. I had my daughter was kidnapped by my first wife for 10 years. And I didn't see her for 10 years. I thought about her every day and more than once a day. I named the boat I built. I built a 32-footer out of wood from scratch. And I named my boat after her. And then I became Jim on the Sunshine. And then Sunshine Jim. So I was named after my daughter in a very, you know, one of those crazy 1960s ways, right? 70s ways, actually. But, you know, she grew up, she had already had her battles with authority with my first wife, God bless her. So by the time I met her, she was 13. I'd last seen her when she was 3 going on 4. And I loved her dearly. And I still absolutely love her immensely. And she's made me a grandfather. Isn't that cool? So I'm glad she survived. And the fact that she took out her teenage angst on her mom meant that I could be her friend again. I was always her friend. We were good friends when she was a little kid. And we had a good agreement that we kept all our lives. And I was amazed that when I met her again after 10 years that she remembered making that agreement. Isn't that a hoot? She made an agreement with me when she was 3 years old, and she's always lived by it. God bless her. Kids are amazing, eh?
They are indeed.
The greatest teachers we could have, I think. Children are superb at teaching.
Baby, I have to tell you.
You know, I've felt about my kids that they're on rails. You know, they're just going straight towards their destiny. Just don't derail them. Don't get away. Don't derail them. They know what they're doing. They know what they're here for. Just further that. We'll be back on the second hour of this tonight. Journeys with JP. Leap Day. Leaping for joy. That's the Navian for welcome back to Journeys with JB. Meanwhile, on the outer phase of Cygnus Alpha, do you remember the gamma ray burst from Cygnus Alpha several years ago? Anybody ever investigated that?
Not me.
Anyhow. Where were we? Jude, you were saying something very interesting, I remember. You asked me a question.
I was?
Yes, you asked me a question.
I did. I wondered if you would briefly describe what you were sensing, and you did. And I was tracing through my soul trying to figure out if that's what was pertaining to me. And I still haven't figured it out, but I would like to say something and then ask a question, and then I will get off the line.
Well, just say away.
Okay, you talked about cadence, and I've listened to you for a while, a lot. Well, okay, I've listened a lot to you for a while. And one thing I've noticed is that you have such a gentle, calming cadence when you get into teaching and explaining things. Your voice is just so, it makes it so easy to learn for me. And I wondered if you have worked extensively with children.
How very interesting.
Because your teaching is so, so good. Yes, it's gentle and kind, and it's just so good. I just wondered if you'd worked with kids.
I'm working with my child, my inner child. So if I don't offend my own inner child, then
you don't, or you do.
If I do or if I don't, if I can, like, I think, like I was saying earlier on, in terms of how my consciousness has changed from seeing things like just seeing things to now being able to feel things and see them, and experience the experience of things, the beingness of things. And that's what the child does. You know, that's what is like the the upside of doing all the inner child work is that once you release one of these inner child fragments, what happens is you retain or you regain senses that you lost through that event. So basically, it's like somebody, for instance, let's take a really random example. Somebody lets, when you're 4 years old, somebody lets off a gun, a pistol, right near your head. The utter shock of it causes your eardrum muscles to contract and not let go. And so you retain a kind of semi-deafness throughout all of your life. But it can be released if the tones that you've been ignoring all these lives are listened to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A random example, but it's a way that you can regain the pre-shock person, because what happens is when you're shocked, all right, here's another thing that happens to the mind and the body, is that you move from left brain, when you're in a natural flow of things, you move from left brain to right brain in a very gentle rocking motion, very slow, maybe like over a period of like half a minute or so. And there are all these other left-right cycles, like the left-right cycle of the sinus. You know, you breathe out of one sinus and then you breathe out of another sinus. You know, your left nostril and your right nostril. Have you ever noticed? You notice it more when you got a cold. And you think, oh,
exactly. There's always one clear nostril, clear sinus.
That's right. Now, if you were to be very, you know, say you were just sitting and noticing what your breath was doing, very slowly over a period of minutes, you'd feel and you'd sense this movement from one side to the other. This is one of the reasons that you do meditation, so that you become aware of longer cycles than your normal attention span will take into account. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So when you tune in to these cycles, and it's like, oh God, I just heard the bald genius speech. When you attune to this, you will be a titan of our times. I'm brain controlled. I listen to this thing every day, you know, for months and months on end, you know, like very attentive. I listen incredibly attentively to things. Anyhow, meanwhile, so you retain. If you're subject to a shock, this gentle rocking from one side to the other, it's like when an old-fashioned meter was overloaded. It's like the needle would slam into the right-hand side, and sometimes it would break past the needle. You know, in some rare cases, it would just break the needle, the stop on the needle, and go to the other side of the needle, and stay there forever. And in a way, that's what's happened to the gentle left-right flowing of the child's psyche.
Yeah.
And it pertains to a freezing in the emotional body of this natural flow.
Mm-hmm.
From male to female, female to male, male to female, female to male. And our cyclic flowing, you know, the gentle sine wave, you know, it's just like a river, goes from a sine wave to a square wave or a triangle wave, and become what becomes classed at some point as bipolar. You know, instead of moving gently from one to the other, you switch from one. It's violent, and
yeah,
it reflects the violence
moving.
that your body is holding inside it. You see, go ahead.
There's more volume moving back and forth, yeah. The bipolar, yeah, that's why it's so noticeable, is because there's more emotional energy stacked up there to shift.
Yeah, it's a bit like trying to read a lullaby, or to trying to read a bedtime story to your little kid, and you've just had the mafia knock on your door. Sort of, it's hard to keep the emotion down, you know?
Yeah.
And that's because the emotion's locked in that place. So
yes.
The energy that you use to kind of break out of that just kind of slams you on the other side of the meter. And, you know, it just goes from left to the right, left to the right. But it's the violence of the change that determines this kind of what you might call psychotic or, bipolar,
yes.
or all of these shifts that are essentially a traumatized version of the natural flow from one side to the other. And you know, some people are not bipolar. They're polar. Then there's not monopolar. They slam from one thing into another. They're just
mm-hmm.
just polar. It's just like whatever they do is like all the extreme. You know, everything's turned up to 12. You know.
Yeah.
So where were we? We're talking about cadence and frequency and rhythm.
Yeah.
And how that carries the information in a holographic fashion, in the texture and the timbre of a voice. You know, if you got somebody who's talking from several levels, there'll be several frequencies that are added to the original sound.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, you know, the thoughts are encoded on a high frequency, ultrasonic. We can't hear it, but it's like the encoding of thoughts. Isn't that interesting?
Mm. Boy, you know so much about this. I started the process when I was, I want to say 22 or 3 of, you know, my inner healing, so to speak, or I use different language because I came from the church, but
The church. Which the church? There's about 36,000, I believe. The church. My church. Well, hello,
church.
It's John. Yeah, John who? That's John. You know John. John. Yeah, which one? Yeah. Anyway, so the church?
I'll just say the Christian church. The American Christian church.
The American Episcopalian,
Southern
something Baptist,
like that.
Lutheran, sort of.
Well,
generic.
I'm more. I think in.
I'm a Universal Life Church Reverend myself.
I probably have more leaning towards the Catholic orientation, but I don't subscribe to anything. I just be, and so. I started the process of opening up and having my soul being healed, and then I learned what the process was. I didn't know what was happening, but I just went along with it because I didn't have a choice.
Sometimes, you know, you just have to get here.
I know.
You know, and it doesn't really matter how you got here. The fact is that you're here now, today. This is a very important day. Why? Because you're here.
Well, there's so much going on, and I just wondered if, you know, what you were talking about was what I was experiencing. And I wanted to let you know that your voice, the way you teach when you get into it, is so glorious. It's very safe, very comforting, and I really appreciate it, and I hope that you know that's happening in you, because it's a tremendous gift.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Souls out here.
It's a lot to do. Is due to the M Audio Solaris microphone, which I pay a great homage to. This beautiful creature.
No. It's the goodness inside of you that's coming through. Oh, there's my rhyme for the day. The goodness inside of you that's coming through. All right, I'm going to get off the line. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome, and thanks for just paying attention. I think it's really important to pay attention, because you can learn a lot by spending some time with something. You know, not just clicking away after a couple of minutes and, you know, judging it to be stupid or this or that. You know, I even give Flat Earth Society a half an hour. They usually hit me with something stupid about them. I think, all right, that's it. Time up. But, you know, you have to give everybody a, you know, because everybody's got a piece of the puzzle. And sometimes it takes a while for that piece to emerge because it might be an awkward shape, you know. So thanks for calling in, Judy.
Well, and sometimes the people that bring things up need something, and we're all here to give each other bread and water.
Yeah.
So,
well, the corollary of the everybody's got a piece of the puzzle is everybody else has got a piece of everybody else's puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah, the questions that you ask bring out answers in me that I didn't know in that particular way.
Uh-huh.
You know,
or didn't know you had it all.
Well, because I don't have it all. Or I have a pattern. And it's like having a framework, like a wire frame. Do you know what a wire frame is on video CGIs and things like that?
No, I don't.
You know, like the early computer models of a face consisted of little triangular facets.
Okay.
Yeah, that's called a wireframe model.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like you can pull one of those off a shelf and then form it to be the face that you want it to be. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's a template. And the templates work their way out into reality in the same way as you might see somebody develop a fully textured, real-looking face from a template model. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I do that with psychological patterning, and but it's sadly a lot to do with how and discovering and understanding how programming has happened to the human psyche. I started out life as a computer programmer, and now mm-hmm. I'm kind of working out as a human deprogrammer, but it works that
mm-hmm.
way. It's quite interesting. It's very interesting. And using sound and even, you know, the human voice can have quite distinctly revolutionary effects. And I tell you, this 432 thing, it's revolutionary. Because we're in... Now, what is it? Let me just... In a place where lie is the norm, the truth is revolutionary, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In a place where distortion is the norm, love music, 432 music, it's... It changes the world. It really does. I'm not kidding. I'm not saying... I'm not being... la-la about this, because our frequencies have been tweaked, and that's really, really, really important. And you see, because not many people are aware of the whole frequency and what it can do to you, people are beginning to understand, oh yes, EMF and Wi-Fi, and eventually they'll understand that even your mains frequency, your wall socket, you know, it's got AC coming through it, and that coming out of your power cords are 110 volt transmissions of 60 cycles a second, which they found in psychological testing can produce hallucinations.
Whoa.
Yeah, so the framework of energy that surrounds American houses is ideally suited to put people in a place of hallucination. How about that? That's putting a few things together. But
yeah.
I had a paranormal investigator who was who went to a house once, and everybody was having these, you know, seeing these terrible monsters and stuff. And what he did, he traced it to a badly earthed fish tank pump, and the fish tank was acting as an antenna for 50 hertz, for 60 hertz, sorry. And people were having hallucinations as a result. And once he got the ground right, badly grounded. Badly earthed is the English term. A badly grounded fish tank pump. The little water pump that makes the oxygen mm-hmm. move around the fish tank. So it was creating a huge electromagnetic field around this tank, and it was affecting the psychological state of the people in the house. to the point that they were hallucinating.
Amazing that something small like that could have so much effect, but you're right. And then we get so accustomed to how we are that we don't know that there's anything wrong. It just goes on day after day. And we don't know until some disease develops or, like you said, somebody develops hallucinations.
Well, you know, this is something, for instance, my colleague Nancy Hopkins, she worked for the NSA many, many years ago. She doesn't work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She was working at the Russian... she was given an issue, is that how come our people in the Russian embassy are getting cancer? And through that, she discovered that they were being bombarded with microwaves, and the microwaves were picking up the sound distortions and reflecting them as a kind of a sonic radar. They're using it, you know, making a sonic radar so they could hear what people were saying in the room. But the microwaves are so strong that everybody was getting cancer. Well, it's not very funny, but everybody was getting cancer. So the only way they discovered that was through the deductive use of the mind to discover that there was a force that was invisible, that was undetectable to them at the time. You know, who would thought, you know? And so they discovered several things, and then they found out there were the transmitters, you know, that they were hidden behind pictures and seals and crests and all this stuff. So that's how you discover something, by the effect it has on somebody. So until you know that people are getting cancer from EMF and Wi-Fi and smart meters and stuff like that, until you know that, you don't know it. And you don't know that you don't know that you're being
exactly.
You're being drained. You're being zoned. You're being zapped. You see?
Yeah, we don't know until something goes wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, don't know until you get cancer from it. You know, it's like, shit. Go ahead.
Just one quick question I really... I'm going to get off the...
That's all right. Don't worry. It's an easy day. It's a day out of time. It's, you know, there is all the time in the universe. All the time in the omniverse from now until the end of this show. Let's see where we can take it. Ever Beyond is the name of my radio show, you see.
I know.
I have to go beyond, you know. All right. Anyway, keep going.
When the 432 music is playing, does a person have to have headphones on, or is it just it coming out of the computer enough?
Oh, it's not binaural. The binaural system was, you need headphones for that. Because it's got two frequencies there's a frequency difference between the left and the right hemisphere. And if you were just to listen on the speakers, it wouldn't make much sense. It would just sound well. But if you're wearing headphones with binaural, but I'm not doing binaural. I'm just, it's basically, 432 is very, very subtly flatter in musical terms, slightly lower in frequency, slightly slacker in tension than the 440, which is known as the international standard concert pitch. And that's the frequency that was tweaked by by Joseph Goebbels in 1930 something. You know, who set up the International Standards Organization, people? Yeah. Okay, the ISO, which determines the definition of what everything is. You know, what your USB voltage is, how exactly wide the pins are, how exactly wide the plug has to be. You know, that's called a standard, an international standard. And everything that you use in your daily life is subject to one of these ISOs. International Standard Organization numbers, which determine what it is and what its function is and its protocol to use it. You know, for instance, a guitar jack plug, you know, 3.25 inch, or what is it, 6.something millimeters, 6.3 millimeters, is you don't put 100 volts through it. You only put like millivolts through it. There are certain parameters. Everything's got its own parameters, and these parameters are set up by the International Standards Organization, which is part of the EU kind of big conglomerate con thing, which is all part of Mein Kampf. So, you know, they've got there in the end. We're looking at the Nazi International already. So, that's why music is the way it is. And that's why it's been kind of getting worse and worse since the 60s. Since the 30s. Back in the day, music, when, you know, the very early recorded music had more of an organic sound, and it's that organic feel to it, rather than this kind of manufactured and then eventually synthesized mm-hmm. feel that you get to it mm-hmm. these days.
I remember when that changed.
Hmm. What was your experience of that?
It didn't feel like music. It felt like something different. It lost something. It just lost something. So when I have the 432 on my computer, I have to have headphones on?
No, you just can play it through any speaker. Because
432.
Okay. Right, again. 432. Yeah. Right. So, well, you see, because non-musicians and non-scientists, you know, it's not like something that everybody knows, right? So I'm just gonna go through it again. Here, okay. I have in my hand a tuning fork, right? And this tuning fork is scientifically ground and measured and tested to have exactly the frequency of 432.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you hear that, you can hear it. You can feel it.
Yeah, it's really calming to my chest chakra, whichever one that is.
Yeah, it's the heart center. That's where you'll experience it, and it's the true note of the heart center.
It's very calming.
Yes, and if you listen to music that is played in the key of A, in 4-3, you know, as it's tuned to 432, or that features the note of A, you know, like the key of C, for instance, eventually, you know, that A note will really touch your heart, you know. And it can have some remarkable healing effects. Now, there was a guy, you can see it on YouTube, right? Now, instead of playing it through a loudspeaker, he took a coil and just played the 432 through the coil. He broke his arm or his leg or something, or, you know, he had he had some shrapnel. He played this frequency through the coil. And this thing just kind of lifted itself out of his skin.
What?
It had this incredible healing effect. He said it hurt. And when he turned the volume down and it didn't hurt so much, it took longer to heal. So he cranked it up as much as he could, you know.
It literally moved the shrapnel from his body?
Yeah, the body pushed the shrapnel out. Like, as if it was like a fast-action time-lapse photo.
Yeah.
Because that's what the body does, but it doesn't usually do it that quick.
Right.
So,
amazing.
Like I was saying before about children, you know, about your body, if you stop hurting your body, it will heal. The thing is that our bodies are so bombarded with negative energies. When I call negative energies bad frequencies, like the 440, you know, it comes out of the radio all the time. You know, it's bombarding us. All your TV, you know, TV theme tunes, TV jingles.
Or a yelling parent.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know? All of those things put a distortion in our field and separate us from our source. And the 432 brings us back into our heart center. You said it. It brings me back to the middle of my chest. Yeah. Let me just give everybody another. Right, everybody, take a deep breath in. All right, deep breath in through your nose, as big as you can. Fill yourself up like a balloon and just breathe out as you listen to this. There we go, the magical 432. So, having a guitar tuned to that has a slightly more textured effect. It's like there's more depth to it, more... I was going to use the word cross-harmonics, which doesn't really make any sense to people who don't understand physics and music. So... it's like,
well, it's just more touching because it's real.
Yes. It's, yeah, organic is the word that I always look for when I look at 432 music. It's organic. It's like hand drums made with leather. It's like, but, you know, it doesn't mean that you can't tune a hand drum to 440. But I would say that if you tune the drum to 432... It would sound more. It would be happier, you know. It would just feel right. You know, that's mm-hmm. the whole thing. It's about it feels right.
Harmonious.
Yeah. So there you go. The 432 frequencies.
Thank you so much. I have questions stack up in my head all the time.
Well, it's a good thing you come in on Monday evening and I've got nothing to do, so you know, I'm happy to answer questions. I'm really happy to answer questions. It's because, like I say, you know, if you answer, you ask me a question and I'll, you know, what is it? It's like I got an internal Google that is holographic. That you say, yeah, it searches for all these keywords and then several things come up and then they all merge together. Creating something very new. There's a synthetic quality to it. Synthesized.
I do that too. My mind just searches and searches and comes up with all these different responses. And I have to stop and wait. Well, no, that's not the right answer. That's not the right answer.
So, so what star system are you from?
Pardon me? What star system?
Yeah. What came into your head when I asked that?
I don't know. See, that's what I keep trying to get some clues about in my meditation, or what I call my prayer time, mm-hmm. which is, you know, sitting quietly or not quietly, however it works out. But I never come up with any answers. But I have been having dreams of me being on a ship with who I've learned now is Archangel Michael, and he's working with my inner child. And I heard you say once that yours was Hitler, and I turned around from the kitchen. I said, "Oh no, JP, mine is Hitler."
Well, no, it's more to the point that you know your inner child can be a little tyrant. It wasn't actually saying it was Hitler, but that Hitler was basically traumatized as a child so that he would become a tyrant. That's the idea.
Well, and it was my family, you know, that could have been the goal. But how do you know what star system I come from?
No, because...
What about the rest of the listeners?
Well, yeah, well, I don't know. Who knows where everybody is from? Well, you see, my girlfriend's working on this idea that we're all a conglomerate of various races. And that's, you know, that's a general consensus, but she's very specific. There's only 12 who are allowed. Whereas other people say that we've been altered by up to 22. We've got the, you know, other, and it could be more than that. And that there used to be 57 varieties, there's now 82 varieties of alien. You know, and the picture grows because we're in a huge multiverse, we're in an omniverse. We're, you know, we've got everything going on all at the same time, you know, in highly structured levels of illusion that we believe are realities, because we know no better. and we don't understand what's being played on us. And when we do learn, that's what, you know, see, this is the lesson. This is the lesson to gain an awareness and do the learning. All right. And once you've gotten over getting pissed off about it, you then learn that this is the game. The game is to see what the issue is, deal with it, move on to the next issue. And that's what your mission is, because you're presented with certain issues. Does it make sense?
It does.
All right. And basically, your ego is there to act as your kind of counterbalance, your devil's advocate, and allow you to work between the two points of view. You know, you've got your ego's point of view, you've got your soul's point of view. But the problem is, most people don't listen to the soul's point of view. They only hear the ego, because the ego is basically photobombing the whole thing. And it's up to us, you know, this is the object of meditation, is to, you know, listen to the soul, the ego, the inner child, the body elemental, to have them all on the council. The inner Nazi, the inner pervert, the inner pedophile, the inner nurse, the inner doctor, the inner surgeon, the inner lawyer, the inner politician. You know, we have all these archetypes within us. And when we get them all talking together on the council and making really good decisions about what we should be doing and what we want to do and what we love doing, that's when we're in our council, we're steering our own personal spaceship through life. And that's where we're going, because eventually we do become some kind of starship captain, which becomes some sort of planetary colonizer, which becomes some sort of planetary logos. You know, you have your whole planet. One day there will be a planet Judy, and one day
we'll
planet, planet Jim, Jim and Judy, planet Jim, Judy and JP. How do you know? Who wants to come to my planet? I've got low voltage lighting. Everybody gets low voltage lighting. Everybody has a really good life. You know, everybody does what they want to do. You know? There's not much physical struggle. It's not about that. The struggle is like evolution and important things and figuring out solutions for the universe. Anyway, anybody wants to sign up, newparadigmworkers.com, crownbasedtransmissions.com, have a listen to what my guides are telling me. That's quite fun. You ever been there, Jude?
To your website where you document your messages?
Yeah.
I think I have, about 2 months ago.
It's every day you can go there and it'll tell you something about what's happening today, because you pick one at random. Just like roll the mouse down and then click one at random. Whatever draws you, or you can just close your eyes. Because that's the way they work. You can do the same with the Bible. You can do the same with War and Peace. You can do the same with any book. Because that's how you communicate with spirit. They can't talk to you directly if you can't hear them. So the only way they can do is direct your attention. They can cause things to become magnetized.
See, I'm easier. I hear words and thoughts easier than I figure out the puzzle. Right now, I'm stumped with the fact that I've had four or five times, I have had 333 come to me. And I'm still trying to figure out what it means. So I do better hearing than trying to figure it out.
So do you get like, have you ever seen Babylon 5?
No.
All right, okay, never mind. Do you get like a single word or a single phrase?
I sometimes get whole sentences.
Okay, and well, for instance, have you had, if you just sat there openly now, what would it say?
Oh, what am I hearing right now?
Yeah, if you would.
Okay. Right now I'm hearing laughter.
Yeah, I know. Hi, guys.
I know. Okay, let me see here. It's quiet. I'm not hearing a word from them.
That's funny. They're just sitting there smirking. See, what it is...
Is that what you're sensing, too?
Yeah. It's funny to feel a smirk, but, you know, it's uh-huh. like, it's like, I know that you know that you know that I know that I know that you know, kind of thing. Again, it's just a natural ability that every human has to be able to tune in. And listening to music and listening to 432 music is easier on the ears and the mind to kind of decode the whole thing, to untangle what it is and to hear the different instruments and the different rhythms that are playing. It's like, you know, listening to you're sitting in the deck chair in the garden, and you're hearing all the different sounds of all the different birds and the crickets and all the different sounds. And if you're very careful, you can just pick out, like, the sound of one cricket, which is going, eh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's in the rhythm of it. So all the different ones that are going, eh, at random, they all do it in the same moment. And so they all sound like a unison. But they're all just doing it for them at a kind of random time. It's very interesting.
Yeah, sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I'm still in a really bad place emotionally. And I can hear some laughter, some funny remarks trying to cheer me up or get my attention. And I know of one angel... Well, maybe two angels and one guide, and then there's a feminine figure. But one day, I was just in a really, really bad mood, and I was contemplating doing something, and one of them was singing, "Will she stay or will she go?" And then there was another song that came up, just as, they're very funny.
Mm.
Very funny.
Well, they're light. They're light beings, right? And light being,
yeah.
Light is light is light. So, you know, it's light of weight, it's light of heart, and light of spirit, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, it's bright light. You know? And so all of those factors mean something that is very levitant, it uplifting,
mm-hmm.
you know, literally. So that's part of how we evolve, because what we have a part of us that has been quite damaged over mm-hmm. the years by various of these other races, you see, and some of the damage that has happened, you know. And so not all of those 22 have done a good job. Some of them have kind of tweaked us down. An example is IBM computers. I used to work in University College in London, and they had one of the first IBM computers installed in the university in 1967. They had, and when the university sort of raised its funds and paid for it, it bought a certain amount of, you know, certain amount of computer, like memory. Imagine. Okay, so if let me just take it to the, you know, if this was a modern PC, okay. And you said to them, I want to buy more memory from you. You know what they'd do? They would send an engineer, and basically, he would take out a little pair of wires. It's called a jumper. He'd pull out this little thing, like a little switch. The memory that was already installed on the computer would become activated. Do you see what I'm saying? Is that
mm-hmm.
The computer was already better than it was, but then they dragged it down. And then you had to pay more to get what you've already paid for.
Yeah.
And that's good old IBM. We love Big Blue because they're Nazi bastards. But anyway... Because they did the census. You know, Lockheed Martin and IBM, they do the censuses for the Nazis, you know. That's what they do. And Hugo Boss designs the uniforms. Yeah. Maybe he still does. Interesting. Yes.
Goodness. Would you, or have you ever been to the United States? And if not, would you come?
If not,
and
why
if
not?
Why not? Or actually, no, I understand why you wouldn't, but just curious. Thank you for inviting us all to your place for the Hawks Fest this year. I'm kidding.
I have a garden, but it's mostly mud and chicken poo. Where the audience would be sitting, that's my vegetable patch. So, I currently play to three turnips and a kale plant. meanwhile,
how do they show their appreciation? They get up and leave? No.
Eat, shoots, and leave. So, these changes in consciousness that are going on is... I feel that, you know, the things that I've been going through and that I talk about on this show, the reason I have this show is, and the reason that I'm put in this place is because I am consciously going through a transformation that I've been told about by my own guides, and it's playing out as they, you know, illustrated. And so I'm like a kind of, pet creature behind a glass case. You know, this is what's happening to me, and it's going to happen to everybody.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to get this thing, and depending on how you relate to it, it can be more or less painful. It's not a terrible thing, but sometimes it feels terrible. Sometimes it just feels. It's actually learning how to feel again. But the feelings are more subtle, they're more esoteric, and you can have, it's a very grounded spirituality.
Yes, and for those of us who didn't know or hadn't been shown how to deal with our feelings, let alone what they might be, it's very disorienting, and it can be very frightening to people to have a breakthrough, and they call it a breakdown, but they don't understand that they're supposed to be living with feelings anyway. That is the way. So it can be a huge change for people and a very frightening thing.
Well, yeah, because most of the time we're taught not to have feelings. We're not allowed to have feelings. Only special people have feelings. Only poets and visionaries have feelings. You know, you regular people
don't
have feelings, and you're not allowed to have feelings. You just go suck it up, go and work, go and earn money, pay the mortgage, pay the rent, pay the gas bill, you know, pay the bills, and just, you know, be a battery. Great, thank you very much. No, I'm a human being. I've got feelings. These are amazing. You know, I'm really enjoying these feelings. Look at what this feeling can tell me truth. This feeling can help me understand how the pyramid works. This feeling allows me to understand some of the great mysteries of science. This feeling, you know, and it goes on. Because what we understand is what we call a feeling is actually a holographic thought form that contains a vast amount of information encoded in a way that is... it's at once it's natural and organic, but another time it's divine as well. And so overlaid, it's like like the shoes matching the belt. You know, when you recognize that the shoes match the belt, then there's what's known as cognitive resonance. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that the for instance, if you're listening to music, the shoes matching the belt is that the rhythm, the tempo, is matching the key. You know, there's two frequencies that are in harmonic relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not, it's not, you know, oh God. All right, so let me just kind of explain what I just said. The tempo is the speed of the music, you know. So a fast tempo is 1, 2, 3, 4. A slow tempo is 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so if you have a fast tempo, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you divide that by 2, so you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm-hmm.
Divide it by a half, 1, 2, 3, and you go further and further and further, slower and slower. As you divide the speed or the tempo or the frequency by a half, you're lowering the frequency by an octave. You're lowering the frequency of the sound by an octave.
Okay.
And so there's a relationship between mathematics and harmonics. And harmonics mm-hmm. are undisputable. You can't dispute a harmonic. It's just, no. You can't, because it's a natural thing. If you have something that is vibrating and you touch it in a particular place, it'll then start singing in the harmonic position. It's a natural frequency of something. Some people say that melody is God crying to man, and harmony is the angel's response.
Oh.
Man's cry to God.
Wow.
Man's cry to God. Sorry, the other way around. Anywho.
I like that.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, learning how to be in tune with yourself, learning how to have cognitive resonance, which means that the things that you believe in are the things that you act upon. And that the
mm-hmm.
things that you act upon are the things you agree with. You know?
Because we
all do things that we don't agree with, but we have to pay the bills or something. We have excuses. We have, oh, but I've got my... and things. They're all reasons why we can't ascend. Well, you know, fine. But did you really spend 150 million years evolving to pay the mortgage? To really understand that you're paying some alien invading person who's jacked into your mind, convinced you that the financial system really has a hold on you and can really control what you're going to be doing and must make you do what you have to do in order to earn the money, in order to pay their debt? Do you think you've evolved all this way just for that? Really?
I hope not.
Everybody? Really? Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
And that fear plays a big part in that too, because if you don't, might get the crap beat out of you or kicked out of the house or homeless or whatever, and then not willing to go through that experience. So fear does motivate people.
Keep running on that treadmill. Keep running on the treadmill. Keep running on the treadmill. But the thing is, you know, money is, as Sean said on the show previously, money is not the gold stuff. Money is not the paper stuff. Money is people.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings are money. You are money. You are soul energy, and the energy of your time here on this place, that is your money. What you choose to do with your time here in this world, that's your money. That is your power.
Yes.
If you choose to listen to somebody, you are paying them. You're paying them attention. Attention.
Giving them my life.
Attention is your soul money. It's your time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're sitting here listening to me, thank you. I thank you for your attention. No, really. Really, really, really. I'm very, very grateful for that. Because that attention gives me the orientation to say the right things to you. Because I want to be responsible with the attention that I'm given. Because I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my time.
Well, it's easy to listen to you, and I enjoy giving you my time and attention.
Bless your heart.
I just don't know that it's I don't have a lot to say. You know, I just observe. I do a lot of observing, and then I don't always have a lot to say.
Good. Well, sometimes, you know, some people are not here to say. Some people are here to hear. And the hearing that they do generates a feeling. And those feelings create thought forms. And those thought forms go out. They go out in the ley lines and they spread across your local area. And if they're positive ley line, positive thought forms, you'll see effects in your local area that you create. How about that for your reality?
I've experienced that, especially with people. I'll be listening or I'll just be sitting quietly and I'll think of my daughters or a friend, or primarily my daughters. Not so much now because they're really busy, but before I would just be thinking about them and being so grateful that they'd been in my life and what I'd learned from them and fears that I have about them. I spend a lot of time talking to God. There's that name again, God. But anyway, and then, you know, like within 4 or 5 minutes, they're on the phone. Hi, Mom, how you doing? And they hadn't called for a while. But I notice that. I start thinking about people and they'll call.
Well, like it does there's a thought, you know, which one came first? Did you decide to call them, or did they think about you and then you thought about them and they thought, and then you thought, oh, I haven't spoken to them for a while. And then they think, oh, I haven't spoken to her for a while, I'd better phone them, and then they phone you. Which comes first? It's always interesting to consider that. It may not be the way you think it is. And
it may not.
Let me just say that this issue is something that happens to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
That they get the causality round the wrong way.
Okay.
You know, people think that they have thoughts. But I think that thoughts are things that have people.
Ooh.
And upon that note, we're going to say goodnight to everybody on...
Oh, you're going to leave me pondering.
Here's the music. See? Perfectly timed. Thoughts
Thank
of things
you.
That have people. People like Jude from Oregon and SJ from British Columbia.
Thank British you. Columbia. Bye-bye.
Hey, goodnight, everybody. Thank you very much for calling in. Oops.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.